This is the fourth week we've been going over the Sermon on the Mount. And the more I study about this sermon, the more I look into it, the more I think we need these teachings today more than any other time in my personal life. This coming to understanding what true blessing is and coming to understanding how to embrace the sufferings and the persecutions that will come. We need that in the church today. This understanding that we're going to go over today about prayer. Oh, how the church needs to pray. Mm-hmm. And not these muley mouth, cheap prayers, bless me, feed me, help me feel good. But Lord, help me to be a vessel for you. Help me to die to myself. How many times do we pray that? Lord, help me to die to my will, that your will might be known in me. Wow. If the church would start praying those kind of prayers, you want to see something that would change? I tell you what, the world would start seeing what the church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be like. When we really start praying, Father, help me to love my brother, and how the world would see what the church is supposed to look like. Instead of us taking our Bibles and using them as battle axe to chop apart all these other people groups, how about us standing on the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, just loving the way that He loves us. Not condoning sinful lifestyles. I'm not saying that. But those folks who are caught in the snare of sin, does anybody know someone like that, just caught struggling in the snare of sin? I do. And it's not my job to chop them to pieces. It's my job to love them and express the goodness and the fullness of the Lord who loves them. Right? They were made in the image and the likeness of God, just like you. And Jesus loves them, the hurting and the broken, just like He loves you, the hurting and the broken. Jesus, as He's talking about today, as we'll be getting into it, and if you'll open your Bibles up this morning to Matthew chapter 6, well, by the grace of God, we'll go from verse 1 to verse 21, but y'all know the way I preach, we might get from verse 1 to verse 2, who knows, but we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak what He wants to speak, and I pray that the church will hear what the Spirit has to say to them this day. And so before I open my mouth any further, I need y'all to pray for me. I'm going to pray for you guys. And let's just ask God for His guidance in this. Jesus, I thank You for Your living Word. Father, I thank You for the Bible that You gave us and the way that You gave us instruction through Your Word that we could know You, the Most High God. Father, I pray that as we go over these next few verses here, this next wonderful teaching that You have for people, Lord, help us to understand it in a plain and simple way. Father, let Your truth just live in us, that we could be the examples of You, that we could be, as You have called us before, the city that's built on a hill, Father, that we could indeed be the salt and the light in a dark and tasteless world. Father, we thank You for that, and we ask that You would bless Your Word in our hearts and help us to live in it. We ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, and like I said, this is a long series, as this is the longest teaching that Jesus has in the Bible as far as a sermon. And if I was to entitle the sermon one way or another, I'd be talking about true treasures. Who wants some real treasure? Amen. I'm not talking about the gold and silver that man can steal and take away from you, but I mean true treasure where it can't be taken away. I want some of that. Amen? I want some of the things that this world cannot pervert, that this world cannot take away, that this world has no limits to. And Jesus says, here's a way to how to get that. Let me teach you about treasure and what treasure really is. And normally I start at the beginning, but I think I need to start at the back and work my way forward. So if we'll just look at verse 20 and 21 real quick, that way you'll get where 19 through 20. And so 19, verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Looking at those three verses right there and the way that they're laid out, he says, listen to where this, I need you to lay up things that will last for eternity, right? Are you ready to lay up something? It's not about your 401k here, right? It's not about what you have in your bank account. It's not about, because do you know that the stock market could change and you could lose everything overnight? Amen? So this treasure that we look at here on this earth really isn't worth much. Gold and silver, don't get me wrong, I like to have a little bit of coin in my pocket, but that's not the main thing. What I'm looking for is where I'm going to store up the things that really count. And Jesus, in these next verses that we're going to back up to and look through, is going to be pointing us in a direction where we can properly invest in heavenly causes, where it cannot be broken and is stolen from. It cannot be corrupted by the things of this world. Do you want to know how to get there? Amen? Do you want to know how to get from where you are to where you need to be? You can say yes, but really it's not going to. We're in a bunch of friendly people here. Nobody's going to laugh at you. I might, but nobody else is going to laugh at you, right? Okay, so Jesus, as he's taken here and talking about these treasures that are going to be stored up in heaven, he says in verse 1, take heed that ye do your alms, that you do not your alms before men. If you don't know what alms means, it means charitable deeds. Don't do your charitable deeds where everybody else can see you, right? Oh, George, God bless you. Man, thank you so much.
Oh, boy, I tell you, what a man, you're so good. Anybody ever do that to you?
You shouldn't be doing your deeds in such a way that the world will give you glory for it. That's what Jesus is saying. Take heed, pay attention, ye do not your charitable deeds, your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward. Where is he talking about the reward? From verses 19 through 21, your reward is in
heaven.
Amen. That is where the throne of God is. That is where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, right? So don't do your charitable deeds here on the earth where somebody can say, way to go, man. You did. Oh, you are so good. Jesus warns us not to do that. Otherwise, you'll have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Well, do you want to be rewarded here on this earth? Or do you want to be rewarded in heaven? I'll take my reward in heaven. Amen. I'll have two of those lumps. Right? I want two of them. I really don't care too much about what the world thinks about me. All right, and anybody, y'all who know me, know that's pretty much the truth. We don't do the things that we don't do them in such a way that men would give us the glory. Jesus, remember what he said before here, do your works that they may glorify, do good works that they might glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're supposed to be reflecting what God is doing in us. We are Jesus, the work of the Father, the work of Jesus, those two together through the Holy Spirit is like the sun in our solar system. And we are just simply like the moon, reflecting what he does in our lives to other people. Anyone see the moon the other night? Mm-hmm. Amen. Alan called me. He was at an event. And he said, Curtis, I wish you could have come because I'm sitting here. I'm looking over a waterfall. And there's this beautiful moon that was out there. It made me wish I would have come. Yeah. You know, what it is. But anyhow, I missed the scene, but I got the scene because that's what we're supposed to be doing for the world. We're supposed to be doing like the moon does, reflecting the goodness and the grace and the love and the compassion that God has shown on us, giving that beauty back to anybody else who has eyes and ears. But we do that like the moon. You don't hear the moon speaking a lot of stuff, right? Anybody here lay out in the middle of the night expecting to get a moon tan? Don't get a moon tan, right? You don't. See, because it's only reflecting what the Father is already doing in it. He says, take heed, pay attention, that you do not your alms, your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them. Other words, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest your charitable deeds, your alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth them in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Let me ask you, when we do things for others, do we not sound the trumpet? Oh, look at what I did this week. Man, I saw this old woman and I helped her across the street with her groceries, man. You ought to see how good I was. Boy, I pulled off the side of the road and I took time out of my busy schedule. Oh, I labored so hard. Oh, whoa, poor is me. You know, and when you get that, they come up to you and they say, oh, you've done so good. Anybody have that, you know? Yeah, do you do it? You can be honest because God already knows it, right? So you can be honest about yourself. You should not be bringing glory to you, all right? Now, if somebody sees you on the side of the road changing a woman's tire or helping somebody out in some way, and they see you doing that, then they'll come to you and say, wow, Brian, that was awful nice of you. And George, you've had this before. They said, George, thank you for doing that kind of stuff. But George, he's like a megaphone for Jesus Christ. They'll say, George, you did so good. And George say, you didn't, anything in me wasn't good at all. What you saw was Jesus working in me. So anytime somebody sees you, you don't take the glory for yourself, right? That's what Jesus is talking about. Don't pat yourself on the back and don't let anybody else pat you on the back because it ain't about you. Did you ever understand that? That it's not about you. What you do is not about you. If you are a Christian, if you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been set apart for his high calling, you are now a slave to the gospel. You belong to him. I've never, ever, ever heard anybody going to the doctor, have a surgery, and they say, can I see the scalpel that cut me open? I want to give glory to the scalpel or to the mechanic. Ooh, I want to see the wrench that took my car apart. Man, that must be a great wrench. No, you talk about the surgeon who cut you open and healed you, or you talk about the mechanic who used the wrench. Listen, we are scalpels and wrenches. We are not here to be getting glory. We are to give the glory to the Master, right? The Master, Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty. That's where the glory goes. It doesn't go into the tool. Do you know that you are a tool? Have you ever, I'm not a tool. Well, then I want to be a tool. I want to be a tool in the hand of the Most High God. I want to be used by him. I don't like anybody. That's why I tell folks, They come to you and say, oh, you're the pastor. No, yeah, I might preach, all right? But they say, you're the shepherd. Now, if you're a pastor, you've heard that. Oh, you're shepherding the flock. No, really, Jesus, he's the good shepherd. You know what I am? I'm the sheepdog, right? I'm the dog, and the shepherd tweets his little whistle. Tweet, 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 or he tells the dog to go where the dog goes. And the dog gets behind the sheep and gives the sheep good direction to keep them away from danger, to keep them out of things that will hurt them. My job is to listen to the shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, through the word of God, and give the body of Christ direction. I am not your shepherd. Right? Now, I will call myself the pastor, or pasturer, because I like that word better. Because what does a pasture do? It lays down before the sheep. The sheep come and eat on it. The sheep do what sheep do, and then the sheep go to a different place, right? So I'm a pasture. I'm of nothing. In fact, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm supposed to be the chief foot washer. You deacons that are here, elders in the church, guess what? You ain't nothing. You're a glorified dishwasher. That's all you are, all right? Get used to it. Because you are a servant of the Most High God, and you're a servant to the body of Christ. So when you do the things that God has called you to, don't blow your own trumpet. Right? Don't think that you're all that and the soda cracker that goes with it. Now remember, we are supposed to be the least of the least, the most humble of the humble. We don't bring light and attention to ourselves. Our deeds need to be pointing back to the Father. Where did I get the ability to preach the Word of God? What came from Jesus? If you guys know me and you know anything about my past, you would say that guy is incapable of being a pastor because of who he used to be. Two favorite words in the whole Bible that are, for me, is "but God." Yeah, that's who I used to be, but God got a hold of my life, and I'm no longer that person anymore. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so he tells us, don't take the glory for ourselves. Don't do your good works or sound the trumpet. And Jesus says, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue. As the hypocrites do in the church. You got to look at that. Look at it carefully. When you bring attention to yourself because of something that God has called you to do, be careful there. You can get all your reward here on this earth. You get all your rewards here on this earth. You have nothing when you stand before God. So I don't want your pats on the back. You know, I don't need it, don't want it. Thank you very much. But if you want to glorify somebody, glorify the Father who is in heaven, who has enabled you to do the things that you do. Don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Verse 4, that your charitable works, that thine alms may be in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Woohoo! Man! If I get any pats on the back, I want it to be from the Father. If I get any glory here on this earth, I want it to be from God. If I get any reward here on this plane, on this spot where we live, I want it to be from the Lord God Almighty. How about you guys? Amen. Is that a truth for you? It ought to be. It ought to be. Then he talks about praying. And folks, we need a lot of work on our prayer life. We really do, because we have prayer meetings, we have prayer groups and stuff like that, and we get together and we pray for our dog, right? We pray for this thing or that thing. And don't get me wrong, God knows what you have need of, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. It's not about praying for those things, right? What's God telling us here? He's going to tell us that he knows what we need of here in just a moment, but listen, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. But when thou shuttest the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when thou pray, don't use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you need of before you ask him. And he says, pray in this pattern, pray in this matter. So let's look for a second. Let me ask you personally, you know, don't answer this question because it might embarrass you. When you pray, how do you pray? God bless me, fill me, heal me, right? Me, my. Oh God, me, my, right? Anyone have those prayers? It's all about me. It's God, me. That's finding Elmo. Right? Or searching for, what's that little fish that was lost? Who? Nemo. That's it, not Elmo. Nemo. And one of those old guys. And y'all remember the seabirds? Mike, that's them. Yeah, right. And so, when I'm in prayer meeting with some folks, sometimes that's what it sounds like. Me. Right? Is that what prayer is supposed to be about? Listen, like you said, does the Father know what you have need of before you ask him?
Yes.
So, when you come to pray, instead of me, my, not that you can't do those things, but God wants you to pray for others. Right? How about them there? Lord, I want you to intervene in Steph's life because she's in pain. Right? I want you to bless her. I want you to touch her. I want you to heal her. And if you're, when I pray for myself, this is how I pray for me. Kill me, Father. All right? And that may sound crazy, but there's things in my life that need to be crucified with Christ that are still alive. All right? And I know I cannot defeat those things in and of my own. So I go to the Father and say, Lord, I've been walking with you for 20 years, and I'm still struggling with this thing. Kill it. All right? Let me bring this thing to the altar of Jesus Christ, and I want to tie it to the horns of the altar, and Jesus being my high priest, will you slit its throat for me? Right? Because in the Old Testament, that's what they did. They brought their sin sacrifice. They brought their sacrifice for sin to the altar, and they would tie that animal, that thing, to the altar, to the horns of the altar, and the high priest would come, and he would bleed it out, and then he would take that carcass, and he would burn it. There's a lot to that, and we're not going to get into all of it today, but I want you to know, when you bring your sin offering before God, tie it to the altar and leave it there. You don't see anybody in the Old Testament, any example of dealing with sin where they took their sin offering to the Father, they tied it to the horn, and 3 minutes later they picked it back up and said, oh, I really like that. I'm going to bring it back with me. Right? Repentance means turning 180 degrees away from that. You confess it to the Lord. Father God, I'm struggling with this thing. Help me to leave it back there. But how many have problems with that? Ooh, I do. I do. I want you to know that I have not made it yet. But this one thing I do is I forget those things which are behind, that I might press forward to the high call of Christ. Right? And so in my prayer life, the way I pray, God already knows that I need food, clothing, and shelter. Right? He knows those things. And he wants to give them to me. He wants us to. So I don't have to keep saying, oh, Father, feed me, feed me, feed me, Father, feed me, feed me. Wait a second. He knows you're hungry. Right? He knows that. You think he'll feed you? Absolutely he will. Well, it may not be filet mignon. Meow. It might not be filet mignon. It might not be the very top steak. But I tell you, hamburger fills you up pretty good. You know? He says, I will meet your needs, not your wants. And often we get our wants so mixed up with what we really need. Sometimes we miss what we need because we want what we want. We keep asking for what we want and reject what we really need. So what do you need from the Lord? Go ahead, George. What do you need from the Lord? Yeah. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, right? The fruits of the Spirit. That's what you need from the Lord. Because I can't do, really, folks, I cannot love you by myself. Really, because I don't even like you, right? Let's be honest about this. And y'all probably don't like me. When we were watching, we went to Genesee Museum the other day. And the shepherd thing that I told you, we watched that happen in real life. That was so cool. Because the shepherd stood with a stick and he called to the dog. The dog came in, he tooted to him. The dog ran out and he chased the sheep, made them go through gates and stuff like that. I thought that was so cool. But anyhow, he only did what he saw the shepherd doing. He only did what the shepherd told him to. And the sheep didn't really like the sheepdog. You know, when the sheepdog came up, started nipping at one of their feet, that sheep kicked him right in the mouth. He didn't say, oh, thank you so much, sheepdog, for telling me the truth and keep me out of trouble. No, that's not what they did to the sheepdog. They didn't like the sheepdog. They butted him with their head. They did all the things. But the sheepdog just always did what the shepherd told him to, regardless of what the sheep said. Right? So this love, this joy that only comes from the Father, those are things that are a blessing from him. We cannot even understand love without this abiding Spirit of God in us. So when I pray for myself, I pray, Lord, help me to love people better. Help me to find joy in the midst of my mess. Who here deals with mess every day? right? You got a nightmare around you. Have you ever prayed that you could be content in the middle of where you are? Paul said, I've learned to be content if I abound or if I abased. If I got more than I can possibly have or I don't have anything at all, I have learned my joy to be found there, my peace, my rest to be found in Christ and not in the accumulation of stuff that really doesn't matter anyhow. See, God's telling us that when we pray, go to your closet, pray in private, shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. I pray, I thank God that when I confess my sin before the Father and I repent of them, he gives me strength to get over that. Amen? Who has a that? All right, I'm not going to put any direction on that. You know what that is for you, don't you? Be honest with God. David, a man after God's own heart. Y'all know the story of David, right? King David is more than just killing a giant with a stone. How about David was not, he was not unlike any of us. Let me put it that way. He wasn't unlike any of us. He struggled with things. He struggled with the sin of the flesh, right? He struggled with, in fact, his hands were so bloody he couldn't even build the temple of God. But God said he was a man after God's own heart. So how did David, this regular guy, a regular person, just like you and I, how did he become a person after God's own heart? He knew how to pray. You ever read the Psalms? Those are David writing down. Those are just the ones he wrote down. How about the ones that he did in the quiet of his room when nobody else was there? Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. Oh, man, I didn't even think of that. Ah, this is great. How many times are you quiet before the Lord? In a day, without your cell phone. You mean I've got to do something without my cell phone? Yeah, without your, no internet, no TV, no radio. You know, in my closet, my house, I don't know about in your closet, you might have a flat screen TV in there, I have no idea. But in my closet, my house, there's not a whole lot, in fact, I don't think there's a plug in my closet, in my house. Jesus says, listen, you need to go to a place that's quiet. That's unplugged from everything else. When Jesus wanted to pray to the Father, he went alone into the wilderness. He went alone into the mountain. And he went there and he prayed. And he saw not just the favor of God, but he wanted to know what God was up to. What are you doing in my surroundings? Where are you at? What's going on in this world, Father? How could I best be used by you? How many times do we really get quiet before God? How often during the day is it quiet anywhere around you? No radio, no TV. Have you found that spot? Or even have you ever looked for that spot where you can just, here I am. I'm not going to turn on my entire net. I'm not going to turn on the television or the radio. I'm going to worship you in silence. Have you ever done that? Try it. Try it. When Jesus really wanted to get close with the Father, now I understand what you're saying. Well, Jesus was God. And he was. But still, before he fled the 5,000, you know what he wanted to do? He heard about John the Baptizer being beheaded, and he wanted to go to a quiet place to be with his Father. Then a lot of folks followed him, and he had compassion. You know the story. The account is not a story. Pinocchio's is a story. The things that Jesus did are accounts. All right? So there are no stories in the Bible. There are accounts in the Word of God because they're truth and they're factual. Jesus said, listen, you go into this place, you close the door, and you pray to the Father in secret, and he will reward you openly. Man, I have so many people that come and meet me through the week, and, oh, will you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray for you. Don't get me wrong. I will pray for you. But have you prayed for yourself? Hey, I really have this burden that you're bringing to me, and don't worry, I will pray for you. I'll pray for you right there. I'm not one of those guys who says I'll pray for you and don't pray. You ask me to pray for you, you be ready to hit your knees because we're praying now, all right? Because I'm going to forget in 5 minutes because that's just life. That's who I am. But how about, did you go to that closet? Did you go to that private place? You didn't air your dirty laundry where everybody else could see it. You just went there and said, God, this is it. Plain and simple. I am a sinner and I'm in need of grace. I'm a sinner and I don't desire your justice. I desire your mercy, Father, and you throw yourself prostrate before the Lord. Now, do you kneel when you pray? Have you ever tried that? I mean, really, if the angels in heaven go prostrate before the Lord, right? They bow down before God. The angels in heaven are doing. Have you ever bowed yourself before the Lord? I mean, I know some of you do because I see the blankets here on the ground, right? Yeah. I don't mind you praying, but pick up after yourself. No. We got folks that pray in the midnight hour that come here, you know. And so, praise God for them. Leave your blankets, because I use them too. When you pray before the Lord, do you really humble yourself in prayer? Do you lay your heart out because God wants to hear you in the secret place and reward you openly? How about praying in vain repetition? How many folks have heard this prayer over and over again? And verse 9, after this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive us our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, and thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How many folks have prayed that pretty much like that? Our Father, which art in heaven. Where's my beads? Right. Gotta pray this one. Gotta pray that one. Gotta pray this one. Gotta pray that one. Gotta pray this one. Gotta pray this one. Gotta pray that one. All right, I got through my string of beads. But did you hear one thing that you prayed? Jesus says, don't pray in vain repetition. Anybody get caught in a circle and just pray the very... No heart in what you're praying. No heart... And what you're talking about to the Lord. And God says, listen, I don't find any honor in that. He doesn't care how many things we memorize out of the Bible. You know that? Now, I'm not saying scripture memory is bad. I think a scripture memory is great. But if you do not apply those scriptures to your life, what good were they? You pray these prayers, right? And you pray them, our Father, our Mother, Hail Mary, Mother of Grace, or whatever it is. And you pray these things, and you just simply pray this pattern, and you memorize the pattern. That's a vain repetition. God is good, God is good, God is great. Hope I find my food on my plate or something like that. Anybody pray those prayers? You know? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord the soul to keep those things. But did you ever really pray? Is that prayer, or are you just mimicking noise? God says, I don't care if you mimic noise. He says, you want to pray to me? Talk to me. Communicate. Communicate with God through prayer. He already knows what you need. He knows that you need food, clothing, shelter, and he knows those things, and he wants to give them to you. Right? Jesus is going to talk about here in a minute about the sparrows, you know, right? That's in verse 26. We won't get there today. But he knows what you have need of, right? Like the sparrows, they don't sow and nor do they reap, but God knows what they need and he cares for them. Don't you think that you're worth a little more than a sparrow? Oh, God loves you and he wants to have this deep relationship with you that's real and it's personal. And so God sets out this pattern. He says, verse 7, I'll read up to verse 10 where this prayer starts. But when thou pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But not ye, therefore, like unto them. Be ye not therefore like unto them. Your Father knoweth the things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner pray. And then he goes into what the religious folk call the Our Father. There's an, is it called an acronym? Where you have letter or acrostic or something like that? I don't have that on my last page. I haven't even used my notes yet, so this I can preach this next week. You haven't heard anything I have to say. Praise God. And so this ACTS, Acts. Adoration, Our Father, which art in heaven. Holy is your name. Right? That's adoration. Praise him. If the angels in heaven are singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? They're adoring him. They're giving him adoration. A, adoration. When you start your prayer, start praising God for who he is, not for who you think he is or who you want him to be. A lot of folks praise God, want to pray to God just for what they think he ought to be. How about for who he really is? Do you know that he is and that he has this wonderful blessing to give you, right? And it's all going to be let go with praise. Who thinks that praise starts with a song? Find one place where Paul or Peter or any of the rest started singing first. Don't get me wrong. I love to sing. I do. Praise God. We got somebody plays a banjo now. And, oh, man, it's so beautiful. I love praising. I got my guitar in the back, and I praise to the Lord. I sing to him new songs, right? Because I want to have that praise with him. I do that in the closet. Reason for that, if you ever heard me say, keep that in the closet. No, but to him is beautiful. I hope it's beautiful. And praise him, our Father, which art holy, holy is thy name. Ask him that his kingdom come, his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That confession. Father, I know on this earth it's not like it is in heaven. Oh, how I want it to be on earth like it is in heaven. Have you ever thought how it really is when you're in the presence of God? Have you ever thought about that? I saw the Lord seated on his throne, high and exalted, and his robe filled the temple. His authority filled the temple. Oh, have you ever, in your mind's eye, ever got to that place? He's holy. He's filling the temple. We went to, in Sunday school, we're going through 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians 3, and I think it's 17. We went through 11 through 17 today, somewhere around in there. Anyhow, it says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know that? The Holy Spirit lives in you. You're this body is the very temple of the Holy Spirit. That he lives in you. He dwells in you. Everything that we do that displeases him, we bring him with us. Anyhow, different sermon there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. AC, confession. Asking that it's not as it is on the earth, as it is in heaven. I want it to be that way in my personal life. Giving thanks. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. All of those are the confessions. I'm confessing there's adoration, there's confession, there's thanksgiving. And now for supplication, laying out what you would have God to do in your heart. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Oh, that I would experience the kingdom of God on this plane called the earth. I desire that. Do you desire that? Do you want to see God's kingdom right here? I'm not talking about in the Revelation where the kingdom comes down, the new heaven and the new earth. I mean, don't get me wrong, I want to see that too. But right here, right now, in this temple, where this temple, this body of death that's in front of you, I want to see God's kingdom come alive. Do you? Do you know that you can? Do you know that God wants to make you alive? He wants to work through you, that you can be his tool, that you can be used mightily for his glory, that the body of Christ can truly be his hands and his feet in this time that we're surrounded by, that you can be his tongue, that you can be his ear. Oh, wow. But in being that parts of the body of Christ, you're not supposed to take the glory for yourself. Right? You give it all back to God. Verse 14, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Ooh. All right, let's back up one step here to verse 13 of chapter 6. Now lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. George, I just cannot forgive you of that. Mike, I can't forgive you. Do you expect to be forgiven from God? Oh, Lord, forgive me. But I ain't going to forgive you. What did Jesus just say there? If you can't forgive those who hurt you, who did you wrong. Now, he's talking about folks who really did you wrong. If you can't forgive them, how do you expect God to forgive you? Because guess what? You did God wrong. You know? If you really got the justice you deserved, where would you go? Hell. You would be cast out from the very presence of God. If you really got what you deserved, but God gave us his grace, he covered a multitude of sin with his mercy. For by faith, you've been saved. You've been saved by grace through faith. Sorry, I misquoted that. You've been saved by grace, God's grace, through faith in him. He saved you. Oh, forgive us, Father, where we have not forgiven those who have trespassed against us. You got to get over it, right? Living with the spirit of unforgiveness, this could be a sermon in itself. Living in the spirit of unforgiveness is very much like you drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. That dirty rat did me wrong, you dirty rat, you. It did me wrong. Man, I don't see you hanging on a cross yet. And if Jesus could hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. How about because they took your parking place, right? Or they said something about you. They took the last biscuit off of the biscuit tray. I'll never forgive you. How stupid does that sound, right? If you want to be forgiven, you need to learn how to forgive. Then he talks about fasting. I can't get through this fast. So, because I love you, all right, let me ask you this. Do you want me to tell you about fasting, or do you want to wait till next week? It's up to you.
Tell us about fasting.
You don't like the cliffhanger? We got new folks here. Folks, let me tell you, I normally preach for about another 15 minutes. All right, is that cool? All right, beautiful. All right, but I was going to be kind to you because it's your first time, and you never want to hurt people on their first. That fool just never shut up, you know? Because if you let me, amen, right, sis? You know, I'll talk about Jesus all day. Okay, so let's talk about this. We talked about forgiveness and how we want to. He says, moreover, when you fast, do not be as the hypocrites, for they of a sadden countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy God which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward you openly. When was the last time, without a doctor's order, that you fasted? Anyone? Do you? And I'm not saying that you do this to puff yourself up. I'm just curious. Does anyone really pray and fast anymore?
Not in a while.
I'm looking at us. We're pretty fat. I mean, physically, we're overweight, right? I went to the doctor a couple months ago, and she called me an old beast. No, you're obese. That's what she said. So, I mean, even with this slim, trim, fat figure that you see, I could use a little bit of fasting for my physical health. How about my spiritual health? What does fasting do? Do you think fasting changes God's mind over your situation? No. Amen. It changes your mind over the situation. It doesn't change, your fasting doesn't change God, because God's going to do what God's going to do, right? And his word never returns void, and he's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. But we, as the body of Christ, I need to know that I have authority over this vessel. And what does this vessel want more than anything else most days? Food. Right? I want food. Right? Every morning when I wake up, I want food. At lunchtime when I eat, I want food. In between regular meals, I want snacks, which means food. And my physical flesh controls my spiritual body. Is it supposed to be that way? No. Do you know that you have control over your physical flesh? You can tell your body, no, I'm not going to eat that extra Twinkie. All right? Or no, I'm not going to eat for a day. If the doctor told you to fast for 24 hours, would you not fast? Right? Now, if the Spirit of God or of Jesus through the Bible tells you that you need to fast, should you fast?
Yes.
Amen. Now, this fasting, like we said, isn't necessarily something that's going to change God from what he's doing, but it just might prepare you for what you need to do. All right, like when you go to the doctor, he tells you to fast for 24 hours before you come see me. And if you don't fast, your blood work gets all messed up, right? Anybody have that? I did a few months ago, told me to fast, and I didn't fast, and I took my blood work. It was horrible, right? It was the numbers were all crazy, and the doctor asked, did you fast? And I said, no. He says, well, that's why your numbers look like this. Go home, fast, take new blood work. All right, did that. My blood work was still crazy, but at least I knew that I fasted, and now I'm on medication to control some stuff. Not this, but really some other things. Sorry about that. See how my flesh takes part sometimes? So if I learn how to control my physical body by not feeding it, all right, and I learn I can do that. Now, how about when a spiritual thing comes into my life and this temptation comes in? Right? Temptation comes into me to drink, to drugs, to have sex outside of marriage or something like that. This temptation comes. And I know that that's only flesh. If you have controlled your flesh by fasting, you now have authority, and you know you have ability to control your flesh over this other stuff that comes in. You know that if you fast regular, that you have a better spiritual standing for the temptations of life that comes to you? How do I know that I won't go back to drinking anymore? Well, one thing is I know that I can control the urges that come on me. How do I know that? Because I like to fast. I fast every once in a while. And so when I learn how to fast, then I learn how to control this flesh. And if I know how to control this flesh, when these temptations come upon me, and they come, people, I still get tempted. Right? I am tempted, and I'm tempted often to do things that are not godly. But I know that I control my flesh because I have the ability to physically fast. Do you know, who here gives in to temptation way too easy? Right? Raise both your hands. I know you. There you go. You raised all four like a dog. So yeah, but you see that, how do you know that you can control those things? When you learn how to control your body. When you can tell your flesh, no, I'm not going to watch that. I am going to go to my closet and pray. Do you know when you desire to go to your closet and pray that there's a spiritual thing that happens? How many times when you get on your face before the Lord, right, and you're praying, you're seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden, man, the lawn needs to be mowed, the laundry needs to be washed, the car needs oil change, I got to go rotate the tires, all that comes to you, right? Right? It does for me. Every time I really get serious about prayer, everything in the world comes up to my mind that I need to do. Anything to keep you from praying. Well, that's my flesh barking at me. Because before I started praying, I really wasn't concerned about raking the lawn. I didn't want to rake the lawn. But once I started praying, man, I had to rake the lawn. I had to do it now. Now, if I controlled my body through fasting, when that temptation came, I could say, no, I'm going to put you on the back burner. I have authority over you. I have control over my flesh. I don't have to go rake the lawn right now because I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord's face. I'm going to take the most important thing and put it center of my life, and I'm not going to do what my mind is telling me to do. Anybody ever hear of mind over matter? I have no mind, and it really doesn't matter. Right? So your mind's telling you to do one thing, but your spirit's telling you to do something else. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk in the Spirit better? By controlling my flesh. Who has control over my flesh? I do. George doesn't. He doesn't control over. And as much as I would love to stand up here and say, well, the Holy Spirit has control over my flesh. Oh, I wish that he did, because if the Holy Spirit had control over my flesh, I would not do the things that I want to do. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Romans chapter 7. I praise God through Christ Jesus. Right? So when you fast, and a lot of folks do this fasting, and they do it where everybody can see them. You know, like your prayer, you're supposed to do it in the closet by yourself between you and the Lord. A lot of folks, they put on their sackcloth, put on their makeup. Well, back in those days, they put on stuff that made them look skinnier, and then walk around. So, oh, you must be, yes, my brother, I'm fasting. You know, don't offer me a biscuit, I'm fasting. Oh, thank you for the appreciation. Yeah. I'll fast for you too, you fat pig. I'll fast for you. You know, right? And often that's what a lot of religious people do. Yeah. Jesus didn't like religious people. You know that? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, those of the synagogue. That's what he keeps saying. Those folks of the synagogue would do this. They're standing on the street corners praying, oh, Lord God, thank you, Lord, for this. I just thought about it. There are two men praying in the temple. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican, right? And the Pharisee stood and he pounded on his chest. Oh, thank you, Lord God, that I'm not like that guy over there. You know, I fast twice a week. I tithe a tenth of everything I have. Oh, look at me. I'm so proud of myself. Jesus said he was praying to himself, right? But then there's the publican, the tax collector, and you know how much we love the IRS, right? The tax collector. And he prayed. He didn't even dare to lift his eyes before the Lord. He said, oh, forgive me, a sinner. Which one of those two went home justified? The tax collector. Because his prayer was real, right? He was real about what he was talking to the Lord about. He wasn't doing it as a show. When you do things for the Lord, do it. And when you do your good works, do it where your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing, right? Don't do it for glory for yourself. When you pray, don't stand on the street corner and pray that everybody else can hear you. When you pray, go into a closet and pray. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't come together and corporately pray. We should, and we should do it more often. But we shouldn't pray for our me, feed me, make me fatter. Hey, Lord, teach me how to fast, make me leaner. Help me to walk in the Spirit of God, not in the power of my flesh. Those kind of prayers. But it's my dog because it's sick. Don't get me wrong. God cares about your dog that it's sick, and he does. But that shouldn't be the center of your prayer. The middle of your prayer should be Christ and your relationship with him. Don't do your fasting where everybody can see you. See, if you pray where everybody can hear you and you only pray then, you fast where everybody can see you and you only fast at that point, and when you do your good works, you do it that everybody can see you, you're not receiving anything from the Father, which brings us to the where we started, which is 19 through 21. 19 through 21, again, says, Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon the earth. That's doing the prayer and the fasting, the stuff where everybody sees you. Where moth and the rust doeth corrupt. Where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, will your heart be also. When you pray, pray to God, don't pray to me. All right? When you fast, don't let nobody else know that you're praying, that you're fasting. See, prayer and fasting, they go hand in hand. Right? They work together. And both of them you're supposed to do in secret. Most of the time when I'm fasting and praying, y'all don't even know it. You know? You'll see me and I'll be working with you, I'll be doing this. And you say, well, geez, you don't even take a lunch. No, I don't. All right? But it's probably not for the reason that you think, or the reason I even tell you. I tell a lot of folks I don't take a lunch when I'm working, physically working, because it breaks my stride. Amen? Well, two reasons. One is when I take a lunch, I want to take a nap. Right? So it does break my physical stride. But a lot of times, I might just be in prayer and in fasting for a situation. All right? And I don't want you to know about it. So I'll tell you something different. I mean, I'm not saying lie to people, but you know, the reason I'm not eating lunch with you today, or the reason I'm not going to do this with you, is because of something else. But really and truly, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for myself. I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for not this body, but the whole body of Jesus Christ. And you do that. You do those things not that I might be seen of men, that I might receive some glory or a pat on the back, but that I might have a reward when I stand before God someday. Oh, I pray that someday, when this corruption puts on incorruption, when this body of death is done away with, when I'm transformed into light, right? I don't know what I'll be like when I get there, but when I get there, I'm going to be like him, right? That this sinful body is going to be done away with, where sin will no longer rule in me. Glory to God. I can't wait. I'm going to wait. All right, because I ain't going to jump in front of a bus today. Right? But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when sin will be done with it. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to work. I'm going to do my elms that nobody else can see them. And I'm going to do them in such a way that God gets all the glory. How about you? See, I can talk this stuff for me, but I can't make you do it. Either you believe what Jesus said through his word, or you do not. All right? I can't make you turn to the right or to the left. I can't make you obey his word. I cannot make you love him if you don't. But if you do obey him, if you try these things, really going to the closet and praying, really fasting without anybody knowing about it, really doing works, good works, that your Father would be glorified in that, you do those things and just see how your life changes. It may not change anybody else's life here on this earth. You know that? But it will change you. All right? Because I don't work for the glory for George. he'll stand before God on his own will. I'll stand before the Lord on my own deeds. Right? You'll stand before the Lord on your own deeds. Right? I've laid a foundation, Paul said, and every man be careful how you build upon that foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, straw, hay, or stubble. Your reward's through him, not through me. And again, like I tell you every week, I do not know how to end a sermon. I really don't know how to say the end. If Joshua was here, he'd say pray. So, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Father God, for you speaking through your word to your church. I pray through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit of Christ, Lord, that you have touched us and you have shown us something today that we could use throughout the week. Lord, truly help us to do our charitable deeds and nobody know about it. Help us, Father God, to seek you that nobody else know about it but you and I. Father, help me to learn how to fast of the lust of my flesh and turn away from that you would be glorified in this vessel. Lord, I thank you. I praise you for that. Father, I ask that you would move mighty in your body, in your congregation, again, that you would be glorified. And we ask those things in the might and the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I love you.